Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson, 4341790, call numbers. And of course, you can WhatsApp us if you can't reach us. You can always write us at 266-4862. We go straight to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Yes, good afternoon. Yes, you're on the air.
Morning, sir.
How are you? Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm trying to stay as focused as I can be.
Okay.
Thank you. Before I get into my substantive point, let me just say that this today I want to remember, because people are dying so fast, you know, and I just want to remember those callers and moderators to this program that we have not heard for a long time. Mm-hmm. People like Mr. Marie, the moderator, mm-hmm. and Glenn Williams Hunt, who I've not heard for a while, and among others, for whatever reasons they don't call, or we don't hear them, I want to wish them well, because I want to take this day to remember them, because people are dying so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're so correct.
Yeah. Anyway, let me get to my substantive point now. I want to tell Mark the Barber in Bear Street that I've called for a SEMA center, and he has endorsed my call, and I want to tell him it's coming. It's coming. On the other side now, Mr. Murray, I believe that Barbados should have a course gas station on the East Coast, high up on a hill, with a radar that the antenna can, when it spin, it can scan the sea as much as 2-3 feet over the
sea. So there's already a radar system in place that covers the whole coast of Barbados, and it's supposed to be. You hear the word I'm using, supposed to be integrated in such a way that it can all be monitored in one place.
Sanka, are you talking about a radar? If you got a radar that is to the west of Barbados, it cannot scan the sea as much.
The one at Ragged Point covers, it's between Ragged Point, okay. The points are, there's one at Ragged Point, that was the one that was down. For a while, that was linked to the one on the south coast, just above Chancery Lane, and then it goes down to Needham's Point. Then there's one in St. James, the one there by the Caribbean Meteorological Center, and then there is one is that St. Thomas? I can't remember. No, near Mount Gay St. Lucie. Okay, and I think there was another. I think there were six, but they're all supposed to be integrated, and together they provide a total protection of Barbados' coastline.
Sanka, you ever see the modern cruise ships? Have you ever seen a modern cruise ship?
Yes, sir.
Right to the bow of a modern cruise ship, right to the very bow, the stem. They have a radar there that scans about 2 feet above the water. All the radars that you're talking about, can they scan 2 feet above the water? That's what you're talking about. To pick up anything that is ahead of them and could be as low as 2 feet in the water.
Mm. You're talking about something different now.
No, it's radars. All is radars. Mm. But I just want to say to you, though, that it is good to have these integrated systems, right? Because I think we need to protect our shores. The Bajan shores are too porous. And I was talking about building a coast gas station in the east. And so that, you know, you could have one of those big coast gas cutters based out there, along with some of the smaller boats that can traverse the
downwaters. But so the only place, okay, remember Harrison's Point, okay, yeah. In the north.
In the northwestern tip of the island.
Right. But along that course, that entire course, it's the way how the waves go and whatnot, the conditions are such.
Which course? You talking about the one running back to the east or the one running down the west?
The east.
Oh, running up to the east.
Yeah.
Like going up to the Animal Flaw Cave.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right. That course is extremely difficult. Even to build that, man, the cost of that would be prohibitive, especially in this day and age. But right, but why, the question is, though, why are you so keen on that?
Let me just.
What has happened? What has happened that makes you so keen on that? You're hearing about drug landings that nobody else knows about.
I ain't talking about drugs. They talking about protecting our shores from whatever. You let me tell you this, Frank, in case you don't know. You got Japanese fishermen that goes up 50, 60 miles east of Barbados.
That's right? Been going off in the 70s.
Right, and they're catching.
Not Japanese, only Japanese, Koreans too.
Right, and the Chinese and the Taiwanese and those.
Oh yeah, the Chinese take over everybody, over everything.
Right. And they go out to the east of Barbados and catch fish, like dolphins, for example. They cut off the fins off the dolphin and throw them back in the sea. And the dolphins just sink to bottom like lead. We should have, of course, their station is to do to protect our economic, or as they call it, our blue zones, from this kind of behavior. Because I really think that people...
Sir, realistically, there's the Caribbean... oh, dear. There's a regional security system. You see, we got one of the things we have in the Caribbean that we have in Barbados that we have to, there's certain things that we have to start thinking regional about. Given the costs involved, this is something that is a problem that is occurring for all the Caribbean territories, quite frankly.
True.
Because
true.
We all share the Caribbean Sea. All right? And to my mind, the Caribbean the regional security system. Because they have a plane or two.
Yeah,
I think right. I think they have two now, but they have planes. I think that they would be the ones who would be patrolling these seas, trying to scout that and trying to deal with it, because then we can sort of respond from whichever territories. It's close by, then we'd be able to respond to them. Because quite frankly, it's a regional problem. It's not just a Barbados problem. It's a regional problem. And let's be realistic about this. I mean, there are miles and miles of ocean out there, which is better done by aerial scan.
I agree aerial scan is good, but aerial scan in collaboration with... Area scan in collaboration with the radars would be good.
And we have, as I said, the radar system for that already.
Right, but Frank, a radar system is not enough. you need a physical presence in terms of marine boats, in terms of boats, so that if you got an emergency...
And that's where the regional security system comes in.
But Frank, you know, some time ago I had a boat. You might not be familiar with the marine life in this Barbados. But some time ago, I had a boat to the east of Barbados, and of course, I had to go for the boat because the boat was in distress. Mm-hmm. Because I had to go for it. I know the tug had to go out there at time to pick up people that was in distress. What an airplane could do to help in a situation like that. That's why I tell you that we need not only planes, which is good, and the integrated radar system, mm-hmm. but we also need some boats on the water.
Right.
Anyway, thank you.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your call. We go to the next caller. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Yes, thank you. We're having a conversation before the news.
Okay, you got back in.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Where we cut off?
All right, okay. Well, first things first, forgive me for when I come on the program, it seems like I'm jumping all over the place, right? But the thing is, because all of these things are connected, I guess they're connected in our cultural attitude and the way in which we do things and that sort of stuff, okay? So I was giving you first the example of water and the attitude which I feel that comes across from certain people in authority to blame Barbadians for certain things. Now, my position is that Barbadians recognize that we have to pay for a proper water system. But we are upset with the fact that we believe, or at least let me speak on my behalf first. I believe that I have a problem paying for bad management and bad administration that has happened over the years. Okay? Now, you have laid a sewage line. It is your responsibility. It's a finite thing. It's a physical thing. You know where it is. There is no excuse for you not knowing what is attached to that line. Okay? Every lot in Barbados has a physical location. There's no excuse for you not having an investigator or whatever who is able to monitor and walk that line and then pick up exactly what is connected into your sewer system. And making sure whether if you are supplying water to that particular lot, that it has a meter. That the meter is in a working condition.
I hear you're referring mostly to the illegal connections that you were talking about before when we stopped talking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, when I'm hearing this accusation of all these illegal connections that are on the line. And then the fact of the matter is that you have laid a line that has collapsed for whatever reason. But it is not the fault of the Barbadian public that it has collapsed. Okay? It is whether you have not or not you have designed a system that is resilient enough to take the load that you're putting on it, mm-hmm. and also the fact that town planning gives permission to say, okay, you want to build a hotel here, this is the capacity of that hotel, blah, blah, blah.
So what is the point you're making here?
Okay? That too many people in authority are trying to put the blame on the Barbadian public for certain things. And when the public then is upset about it, let's say in terms of paying taxes, then it makes them see they're being accused of being unpatriotic or not wanting to pay for something. Mm-hmm. Let me talk about in terms of transport. When you gave the example, when's the last time you caught a ZR?
Last week.
Okay, last week. Mm-hmm. All right, no problem. Now, you might be in a position to say, well, if you're driving on a ZR and you hear something that is offensive to you, you are going to get out and wait for the other one.
No, I said, Skipper.
No, but that's what you said just now earlier.
Yeah, if he doesn't turn down, I would get out. But I would tell him what I have to tell him.
But that's what you just said, right? That's what you said. But there are so many people in Barbados that have to take ZRs every single day. And especially old people, for example. And the only thing they want to do is get home, okay? So therefore, they're faced with a choice. Do I get out of a ZR to wait for another one that is going to probably be playing the same offensive music, okay, and then having to put up with the same thing, or just put up with it with however many few minutes I got to get to where I have to go? Do I make a noise in a ZR and then be accused by other passengers in the ZR who are enjoying the music according to them, right, the young people or whatever, and therefore, now is a big horn in the ZR. I've been in ZRs in situations where big arguments of stuff have broken out. And people just want to get home. And it is the responsibility of the transport authority to make sure that these things should not be happening.
That's why I keep saying they're not doing their job.
Right. It doesn't take 2 cents to say, okay, I can send somebody undercover to sit down in a ZR with a cell phone. And if that person, if they record the person playing offensive lyrics or whatever, then when they go back to the office, they simply then write up a fine or whatever and post the fine to the owner and say, listen, Inspector such and such was on the ZR at 10:40, and at 10:40, here's the music that was played. And then you can take that in, they can take that into a court of law, okay, if there's any argument from the owner. That is the responsibility of the authorities in this country, not of the Barbadian public, to put themselves in danger, okay, to be cursed and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, when I hear the Barbadian public has to be defended, okay, they have to be.
All right, sir.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I will try to take it's one last call before the 12:30 news. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sanko.
Yes, how are you there?
Quiet, man.
Good.
I just want to say something here. Mm. You know, people are concerned about this 150 tax on the household mm-hmm. per day per water.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sanko, the only one that might affect adversely would be a warm person. Because if you live in a house, Mr. Sanko, and the house is still 4 gallons of paint to bed it, and if you live in there by yourself, it can be 4 gallons of paint. Everybody there are 40 people, it can be 4 gallons of paint. They just put eggs together and buy the paint. 80 cents in the water. I'm living also with four people in the house. I bought my left 50 cents and 24 cents after this work. My 50 cents and 24 cents there. I paid the bill, man. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't know about the processors with the farmers, et cetera, chicken and pigs and things like that. Because they're with percentage. So I don't know how to calculate that. But what we say to them, don't put it on, but we got to say it might. They say they will do it. This is the might it might cost us, the consumer. All I'm saying is those will absorb the tax, man. Because I ain't want to pay twice. Because I'll be paying twice. I'll be paying money. I'm paying them. First of all, have they produced 10,000 chickens? And they produce 20,000 chickens? The 20,000 is more profit. Pay the tax. Thank you, Mr. Pasenko.
All right, thank you. We have somebody here writing in also on this matter, saying that it costs more if you're buying sweet drinks, because one sweet drink is $3 these days. on this whole thing, I'm not going to even make any further comments on that. One of the things that people are also responding to in many ways is the call from the young lady about the cursing and the music, the bad music. And people are, they're having a talk about it, but I'll just read this one very quickly. I thought I would be pregnant when I leave a van this morning. When I asked the driver if he can change the music, he asked me why I didn't take the transport board bus. Mind you, I had my 3-year-old daughter with me. It's really hard on us to have to take ZRs and vans. And I can read a couple more, but I don't think I have the time. The point about it is that these are the type of things that are happening on a day-to-day basis on buses. And I really think that people need to report them. Or even if the transport authority, they have their offices right there in the river bus terminal. Now, they can have a book just there, a log book, where people can actually come. They can simply write down the bus that they took, the time that it happened, and the number of the bus, and the fact that this music occurred, and get someone from the authority to investigate it. The transport authority needs to do its job. I will always say so. And if they have an issue with it, challenge me. I am challenging them to do their job. They're not doing their job, and it is inconveniencing Barbadians. It is not fair. You're getting paid. Do your job. On that note, we take a break for the 12:30. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you along with Dennis Johnson. And we finish our program today at 1 o'clock as usual at this time of the year. And just 15 minutes to go at 12:45. I just want to read this one here quick for you. A lot of these big businesses that we Bajans have made rich. It's about time that they give back instead of showing off and publishing how much millions in profit. They should really start and give back to society. My suggestion, purchase a garbage truck or buy an ambulance, a bus. Do something that is beneficial to all of us who contribute to your financial blessings, please. And this is from someone who sent me that note. This is Sanka Price. You are on the air. Getting down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
And a good afternoon to you as well. How are you today?
First time I'm speaking to you.
I hope it's a pleasant experience for us both.
I enjoy listening to you.
All right.
Even when I'm overseas.
All
anyhow,
right.
There are a couple of things I want to discuss today. First of all, I was treasurer of Barnufo, Barbados National Union of Fishing Poor Organizations.
Oh, good, good, good. Mm-hmm.
For about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
until I went away and left because of illness, etc. But I won't go into that now. The thing is this, that Barnufo has tried over the years to impress upon fishing folk the need to adhere to correct standards, both locally and internationally. We, at the moment, export some of our fish to North America. The fisher folk have tried to get into the European market, but what they fail to realize and what Barnufo has tried constantly over the years through trying to train fisher folk, etc., what the standards are that are accepted in the European Union,
mm-hmm.
which are completely different from those that are accepted in North America.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain standards with regard to traceability. In other words, if you export to a European country, if you export something to Scotland or something to France, they have to be able to trace that particular product from the time it was caught at sea until the time it reaches European markets. And if it is exported to France, the information is sent to Italy, it's sent to England, it's sent to Germany, it's sent to all members of the European Union, so that they can tell you that the fish was caught off the shores of Oystein by the time it reaches Italy. This is one of the things that we try to impress on the fisher folk. Standards in the market with regard to dress, there are dress codes that are required by the European Union. There are dress standards that are required by American fish processors. If you have a long line and you catch tuna here and you export to Boston, there are certain rules and regulations and requirements that have to be fulfilled. And we try to impress this on the fisher folk. It's difficult to get them to accept those standards. Because what we try to impress on them is that visitors visit the shores, you never know who they are. They could be inspectors from the European Union. They could be inspectors from America who pass through the markets and see what is happening there. We try to impress on them the need to make sure that the fish are kept on ice. And being kept on ice doesn't mean putting them on ice. It means that the fish have to be covered by ice. If you go into a supermarket in Toronto, you can barely see the fish because they have to be immersed in ice and covered with ice. So we try to impress this on the fisher folk and tell them that, first of all, they have to go through training. There was a guy that was speaking to you about fishermen that the Coast Guard have to rescue, et cetera, et cetera. Barnoufo carries out training every year. And the fisher folk are invited to attend. I think, and I have advocated for a long time, that they have to make it mandatory that fisher folk get certified in order to get their licenses. Now, the reason for doing that is not for the benefit of Barnoufo, but for the benefit of the fisher folk. They themselves, this is their livelihood. And if the requirements are that you wear a specific uniform, white shirt and dark pants or whatever, then that is not for Barnoufo, but that is for the people, and that is for their livelihood, and they have to adhere to those standards. Every year you have Fisherman's Week. This year there is a Fisherman's Forum on the Sargasso Reef. Fisher folk and all others should attend, because the sargassum is not something that we can control from here in Barbados. There is nothing we can do about it. It is nature. Global warming is warming up the whole of the planet, and that is why you are seeing the increase in sargassum weed, because the sargassum sea, which is a large area of this weed, which breaks off periodically and floats, covers from the coast of Africa to the coast of the Caribbean. As a matter of fact, in the news recently, within the last couple of days, there's a hotel in Antigua and Barbuda that closed down because of the Sargassum Sea, because of the Sargassum Weed. So what we have to do is find out how we can use it to our benefit. And this requires research, and it requires projects, etc., that will show us how to utilize the sargassum weed that is coming to our shore.
Mm-hmm. Sir, I'd like to thank you for your contribution. It was very well said, and I hope that the fisher folk are listening, because it is contributions like this that are needed. people need to understand that the only way that we are going to get to the next level is if we upgrade our standards. And I want to thank you very much for calling. Yeah, you were saying, I'll give you, hello? Oh, he's gone. All right. We take another call.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Price. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, this is Mark Haynes here, the Public Office of the Alliance Owners of Public Transport.
Oh, great, because I was trying to, Raphael called when we were off the air. Go right ahead, because I have so many complaints here. It's unbelievable.
Yes, sir. First of all, good afternoon. Nice having me on the program. It is with regret that the association has to battle with this kind of behavior, which we deem to be rather untenable and unacceptable in the scheme of things, particularly when it relates to the transport sector. Now, we in the organization, we are making a concerted effort to ensure that this behavior is brought to a halt. We are in the process of establishing a number of educational programs which are designed to curb this behavior. As you rightfully pointed out earlier, that the Transport Authority has to take responsibility primarily for the behavior, because that falls under the ambit of the Transport Authority Act. It is their remit to regulate. We are not regulators. So what has to happen? We are looking forward to establishing what we call a command center, which, when this is established, this helps tremendously with the bad behavior which continues to plague the industry. We, however, are of the view that there are not a large number of guys who are doing it, but it's the small element who are giving the industry
the few bad apples in the barrel.
Precisely.
Mm.
So we all are in this together. It is a socialization that has crept in, which has to be sorted out in a very expeditious manner. But we, as an association, we do not condone behavior that is untenable at all.
All right, sir.
So we're looking at education programs to curb this, you know. But we are working with the, you know, we have a new regime now, and we are working with that, with the Transport Authority, to try to bring this to almost to an
end. But I maintain the Transport Authority should be doing a lot more investigation when these things are reported to them, and they should also have a mechanism in place where people can actually report these things. I have a person here saying, you made a statement that persons should report inappropriate music on the ZRs to someone with a book who would make a note of the time and registration number and then investigate the matter afterwards. I know you mean well when you made that statement, but tell me, what good will an investigation do after the fact? Maybe what passengers can do is video record with audio and also get the registration number on video when they exit the vehicle. The people who are being paid to police that music also need to ride the ZRs undercover and catch them while it's happening. Certainly the fare can be reimbursed. Your quick reaction to that, sir?
Well, I will just maintain that what we are looking at primarily is the command center, which that allows us to see the bad behavior as it unfolds, so that if guys are on the road and they are doing things which are not right, we are able to see from a screen precisely what is happening. We are able to collate that information, deal with it in a very expeditious manner. We call the people in, we deal with them, and we get those people out the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's straightforward as that. So, but we have to do this in conjunction with the Transport Authority. Mm-hmm. But we are looking forward to rolling out these programs. There are many programs, but precisely one is a GPS system, which allows us to see persons as they drive, and we are there seeing what's actually happening.
A GPS system allowing people, I thought GPS locates you. Well, how that allows you to?
But what I'm saying, I'm not the requisite IT person, but we have it, it's been so configured that is going to be able.
You're talking
to,
about a closed circuit television system.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're really talking about.
We can monitor, yes, GPS. Okay. We can monitor where and what is actually happening.
Mm.
So it's under the command center. So when that is established, we don't have the time to go into all the technical details in relation to it now.
Mm.
But we are sure that this is going to help curb the bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Which continues to exist.
Well, sir, I can tell you, I'll just bring this to a close, see if we can get one more call in very quickly. But I can tell you that given the response here on our WhatsApp, it is affecting a lot of Barbadians. They, as far as many Barbadians are concerned who are writing into us right now, it is because they're saying that the Transport Authority doesn't want to deal with the situation because of their security owners. And the owners...
Because of what, sir?
Because they're scared of the owners. Who, in other words, because of who owns the buses.
Oh. I didn't hear your word. Okay.
Because of that, they're not dealing with the situation. And then, of course, the owners only care about money. This is what is being said here. And that is why we're not getting the sort of response that we should be getting. But certainly it is not good enough, and it has to change. This foolishness cannot continue. Okay? Thank you very much for calling. As you can hear, the music starts up. That means we've got to grab our little Georgie bundle and get out of here. But before we do, just want to read this one here to you. Would you ask the relevant authorities responsible for reading the road at Seaview St. James to please remove the debris as soon as possible? The road is already small, and this is now causing a serious issue. I was almost run into the wall just now by someone trying to avoid the debris. And that is a consistent problem all across Barbados, where people clean the bush. I mean, thank you for cleaning up the bush and whatnot. But then they've laid at the side of the road, and it takes, like, it seems forever to get collected. Last night I was traveling just past Colmere going on Waterford Bottom. We had the same problem. It was all in the road, and the vehicles were coming up, and I mean they were really flying. So it was a problem because the roads are already small, and then when you have a bus, last night we had, I think it was two buses coming up, and these guys were making numbers on their way to Bridgetown, so it really caused a whole slowdown in traffic and whatnot. So it really is not good enough.